Good morning. Good morning. It's time to begin. And as we begin, I'd like to welcome everybody, and especially our visitors. We have a few that are visiting with us this morning, and I'd like to extend a special welcome to you and certainly invite you to be with us at every opportunity that you can. If you're living in the area, we'd love to have you be back and visit with us as often as you possibly can. Our purpose this morning is to assemble to worship God, to remember the suffering and death and resurrection of our Savior, to sing songs of praise to His name, and to glorify God and all that He's done and all that we are about. We strive to do no more, no less. Our times of service are at 10:30 or 10:25 for our worship. We meet again this evening at 6 o'clock, midweek on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock. So again, we would extend an invitation for all of our visitors to come and be with us as often as you can. I'd like to be reminded of our sick. There's a bulletin in the foyer if you haven't had a chance to get a copy of it. There's a number of our members and family, friends that need our prayers and care. Especially like to remember Joel and Ken, although it's good to see Joel is with us this morning and his family. Let's be remembering them in our prayers, and especially the things that they may need in a physical way that we can supply as well. Keep them in your minds and your lives. If you would, please open your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, starting in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. And now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. And Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary still sat in the house. Martha, therefore, said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, Yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. Bow with me as we pray, please. Our Father in heaven, Father, we thank you for your Son who came to this world and showed us the way back to heaven, having given his life for our sin. We thank you, Father, for your great plan. Thank you, Father, for your great mercy and grace given to man, undeserving. And we thank you. We thank you for this precious gift of salvation. We pray, Father, that as we enter into this worship hour, that the things that we'll say and do will be beneficial to us, will edify us, increase our faith, but will also glorify you in your name. In your cause. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
we join together this morning, I'd like for us to have a mental picture in our mind. Just listen to these words. Behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments, and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the thrones comes flashes of lightning, and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, the four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. This is a picture of the heavenly hosts around the throne giving praise to our God. And I want us to understand this morning that we are joining together with the heavenly hosts to give praise and glory to our great God. I want us to have that little picture as we give our praise, as we give him our all this morning. As we sing, I love you, Lord. We'll sing this through twice. The first time we'll just sing all in unison on the melody, and then the second time through we'll break into chorus.
Thank you.
Father is when we see our Lord on the cross. As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, let us sing Hallelujah, What a Savior. We'll sing all five verses. We'll sing the verses 1 through 4 softly, and then crescendo at the end of each verse. And then the last verse we'll pick up in speed as it talks about the return of our King.
Most holy, most holy.
This is the time that has been set forth for the communion. We gather around this table once a week, as we see example in the scripture of Acts chapter 7 and 20. It's often, sometimes, I believe, easy when you do something on a regular basis. We're often here about this same time every Lord's Day morning. And it occurs to me that sometimes we have to remember to ask the question, why? Why are we gathered around this table? You know, for the young children, you know, they see the adults grab a piece of the cracker and take one of the cups of the dark colored juice. Why? Why do we do this? Besides the fact that we see it in Scripture, what's the purpose? We can see that in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 that Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper, and that he did something that maybe looked a little different from this, but was symbolic of the same thing. But again, the question, why do we do this? Jesus told us, "This do in remembrance of me." Something similar is written across the front of this table. But why do we do this? I think it's important that we remember and take a look sometimes and ask the question, why do we do this? All of us who have become familiar with this, we do it and we have our beliefs and our faith, but I still believe that it's important to ask the question, to question our faith and to find the answer and to look as if we didn't know before. Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 2 tells us that sin separates us from God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 12, the scripture reads that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Many of us could probably stand up and tell stories about how the Lord has worked in our lives and the faith that we have because of Jesus, because of our faith. What if you didn't have that? What if you didn't have the hope that we can have when we lose someone that we love so dear? When challenges and problems come up that we don't know the answers to? What if you didn't have a means of praying to God? Without hope, no connection to God. You ever thought about that? Really, think about it in your life. The challenging times you've gone through and how you leaned on the Lord and He got you through. What if you didn't have that? You see, we have this man who walked this earth named Jesus Christ. And He lived this life that was sinless, and He was willing to pay the price. He was willing to do what was necessary so that He could take our place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 19, the scriptures tell us that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And that boils down to, someone said, I want them to have hope. I want them to be able to be connected with me. And we stand around this table and we look at these emblems. This bread that is emblematic of His body. And this blood, or this cup that is emblematic of His blood. The scriptures tell us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. So when we remember this, He says, this do in remembrance of me. Remember that without what He did, without these emblems, there was no hope. There was no direct connection with God that we can have now through Christ. What would it be like to have no hope? To have no possibility of anything once this life passes. That's what we have through our faith in Christ, through our obedience to the gospel, and by partaking of these emblems which represent His body and His blood. Pray with me as we pray for the bread. Father God in heaven, we come to You now, Lord. Father, we're aware of what You have done for us. But I'm not honestly sure that we can fully understand what it took for You to do what You've done for us. The love that You poured out at Calvary, Lord God, we're so thankful. We're thankful that You put in place a plan so that we can have hope, so that we can have this relationship with You through Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord God, we're thankful for this bread, which is emblematic of His body. And Father, as we partake of it, we pray that we would do so in a manner that is pleasing in Thy sight. It is in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Please pray with me. Almighty King, we are thankful for a loving Savior that was willing to leave the splendor and glory of heaven and be by your side and come and stretch out his arms. And to die on the cross, Lord, that we might have his blood, that would forgive us of all of our sins. And as we partake of this fruit of the cup, Lord, help us to remember. Remember his willingness to die and that the necessity of his death. And Lord, that in his blood we have the forgiveness of our sins and that each and every day we live the why and that others might see and be drawn to it. We thank you for his sacrifice and help us, Lord, as we focus on our commitment and remembering his. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Was anyone overlooked? At this time, the elders have set aside the opportunity for us to pass around for a collection. To our visitors, you are honored guests, and we are thrilled that you are here. We ask that as the plate comes by that you would simply put the visitor's card that hopefully you've filled out at this time in the plate as it goes by. As we consider giving and returning a portion of the blessings that we've been given from God, I would suggest this. When God gave, he gave heaven's best. He sent his son. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a messenger in some other way. He sent the very best that heaven had to give in order to provide for us the opportunity to be reconciled to him. And I would say that as we give back, that we give back in the same manner, giving of our very best. Brother Gilly is going to give the offering for the prayer.
Our Father in heaven, we humbly bow before your throne, and we are so thankful for all the spiritual blessings that we've been given. But we have been blessed doubly, Father, to live in a country that is the example to the world of freedom and prosperity. And we pray that as we give now, that we give so with confidence that you will provide for us in all ways and by all means. And that all that we give would be given in a way that is cheerful. We pray that the money would be used to help those who are less fortunate, those here in this congregation that are in need, that it would support your word being preached so that others can know the same spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
As we have been singing about the love of God and praising Him for that love, part of what He asks of us is that we then take on that love. The next two songs will be in regards to that. This first song is a prayer of asking God to teach us to walk as He walks. We'll sing, "O Master, let me walk."
Oh,
Father in heaven, we are thankful that we can be here this morning on this first day of the week. All of us have come different paths to this place, but we are here by your design. Weave together as a family to encourage each other and build each other up and to become what you want us to be. We are thankful that we can be here on this Lord's Day, this first day of the week, to worship you and your Son. We're thankful for the classes that we have and that we can continue to grow and study. We're thankful, God, for the singing that we've had this morning. We're thankful for being able to come together. Remember your Son. It is that purpose that we're here today. We ask you to be with us now as we continue through this worship, praising you loudly, singing loudly, remembering that you are our Creator and the one who loved us enough to send his Son for us. Help us to remember that as we sing praises to you. Help Tommy as he brings this lesson to us this morning to be able to absorb it, take it in. He's prepared for this, and we need to be ready to listen and take part in that and to grow from that. Again, Father, you are our Creator. We are thankful to be here this morning. Let us show that in our actions and as we praise you this morning. Thank you for your Son, our Savior. It's his name we praise.
The song for the lesson would be A Common Love. This song speaks of what we are to show, not only to our Lord for what he has done, but what we are to show unto others. That we are bound by this love because of what God has done for us. We'll sing this song through twice. If you would like, please stand and remain standing for the reading of the scripture.
Today's scripture reading will be from James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and it reads, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing fine clothes, and say, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves, and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," and also said, "Do not commit murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and also act as those who are being judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be merciless, to the one who has shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
On Tuesday at 11 o'clock will be the funeral service for Polly Baca at Ladies Funeral Home. I'm sure that'll be announced. But just to give a little information, I've talked to Ruth some, the sister-in-law. She said Polly didn't really want anything, but she wanted a little something for people to be able to come to, the church might come to, and she said maybe say some prayers. But we're going to say a little more than prayers. I've asked Greg to come up with a few songs that he and the children used to go sing to Polly that might be appropriate for the occasion, and we'll read some scriptures and have a few comments. But there's not any family really of Polly's, so if you're available at 11 o'clock, please come on Tuesday. There will be nothing after the service. Just to let you know, the time won't be long because there won't be a gathering after the service at all, and neither will we. The remains will be buried later in the week up in Salisbury. So just to let you know, it'll probably be a 30-minute occasion or something like that, unless Greg just takes over with songs, and we hope that he doesn't do that. He might get on a roll. I talked a couple of weeks ago about orphans, those in need. Then I talked about families and us taking care of our own, being the families that we ought to. And then it keeps dawning on me that maybe the greatest message we can talk about is the one that just fulfills the law. And that is to love your neighbors yourself. Our problem, and humans' problem, is we don't know how to get over ourselves. We are self-occupied. We are self-pitying. We are self-absorbed by nature. I have a new little grandchild, and it's wonderful, and we enjoy her. We see her every day on our phones. That's remarkable, but it is true. But I'll tell you everything about little Emmy Lou, who is the prettiest little thing you ever saw. It's all about what she wants, isn't it? It's all about what she wants, and we want to give her everything she wants. And that's normal. She's got to be protected that way. That's all she knows to do is cry and scream if she's hungry, if something hurts. But we grow from that to come to a point that Jesus said that we ought to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then we'll understand how the law is fulfilled. Luke 10, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test. Luke is usually looked upon as the most chronological gospel. I don't know that you can prove the chronology of any gospel, but I think it's the most, as most say, as he was a historian, trying to record the events in Luke and Acts as they happen. And he said to him, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" What a great question. And he said, "Well, what is written in the law?" He says to the man, "Do you know what the Word of God says? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, and all your mind." That's Deuteronomy 6:5. And your neighbor is yourself. That's Leviticus 19 and verse 18. You know, he put those together. That was known. And Jesus said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. It appears as you study this, that knowing this and doing this are just can be absolutely bipolar, the opposites. You can know it and not be practicing it at all, even though you're a very religious person. Because when he heard this, and this was a studied man, this man didn't just pull out these scriptures just because he happened to say, he didn't have a scroll he whipped out. He didn't have an app he whipped out and said, let me see which two they are. He knew them. But he wanted to justify himself because he knew that knowing them and doing them are two different things. And he said, who is my neighbor? I'll help anybody if I just knew who my neighbor was. And Jesus gave the story here in Luke of the Good Samaritan. And you know about the Good Samaritan, don't you? A man went down and he was accosted by robbers and left for dead. And good people like this lawyer came by. But more than that, or a priest and a Levite came by. An elder and a preacher came by. And they were rushing to do some good thing about the law, you know. And what did they do when they saw that mess? They walked it around. Hurried on. You ever see a mess, but you just don't want to get involved? You ever see that? That ever happened to you? This might be a passage for you. This just might be written for you to listen to. And are you going to be like the lawyer, or are you going to learn what Jesus says? You know, that's a question we always have. You know, we can be like the lawyer, or we can be like Jesus. That's just the thing we have to decide. And I'm telling you, that's hard. That's a hard lesson. So he tells the story of the Good Samaritan here. And he says that he should help this Good Samaritan. It's interesting that loving your neighbors yourself is something that's just found in the scriptures. And I've said this often, but I want to tell you. If we don't learn this, I don't think there's any hope of us getting to heaven. There's the point. Because Jesus, do you like a summation? Do you like to see all the scattered stuff and say, well, just give me the bottom line. Do you like that? I like the bottom line. I like the bottom line. This is the bottom line. That's what Jesus says. This is the bottom line. The two great commandments were love your neighbor, the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And the first of those, love your God with all your heart, is never repeated in the epistles. Never. But the second is repeated over and over again. Because if you want to honor God, this is going to be how you're going to, bottom line, be doing it. Not just being like the priest and the Levite in the temple, but it'll be the bottom line, you'll be loving your neighbor as yourself while you are honoring God. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. What does has mean? It means you got the bottom line, and that's what I'm talking about. We don't like to talk about that being the bottom line, do we? we'd like to have another lawyer discussion here. Let me give you the bottom line. Well, and especially, and you know this from the epistles, especially one another. love all men, but do good unto all men, but especially the household of faith. Romans 13 and verse 9. You know the commands. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. Oh, there's so many commands. How many are there? How can I know I'm doing it? And if there's any other commandment, it is all summed up. This is the bottom line. This is the bottom line. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, the whole law, the bottom line is fulfilled in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, I might be running to the temple, I might be having a lawyer's discussion about the law, I might be teaching revelation like nobody's ever heard, and just like, woo! Hairs on the back of your neck because, wow, this guy knows the book of Revelation. But I hadn't got it. I've missed it. If this isn't the bottom line, you should love your neighbors yourself. This verse really stuck out to me. Bear one another's burdens and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Loving each other especially. Bearing each other's burden. I think it's saying the same message. You know why I'm familiar with Galatians 6:2? And I could have told you, any of you, what it said. And I don't remember scriptures quite as good as I used to. But I could tell you that one. Because I remember that verse because I want people to know they're under the law of Christ. That's the reason I remembered that verse, because that was one of my verses that I had tucked in my mind so I could prove that people were under the law of Christ. Well, I understand we all are under obeying God in Christ, and surely that's right. But you know, I never thought about that verse very much earlier in my life about its bearing one another's burdens. That fulfills, what does it say? Does it fulfill the law of Christ? Is that what it says? Does fulfill mean it gets it done? Does that mean it's the bottom line? Am I right or wrong? Royalty. Oh, man, this is a kingly command. This isn't only the summation of all the commands. It's the king of commands. If, however, you were fulfilling the royal law according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. I haven't always seen that in my life to where that's what I felt like, that's what I'm doing all the time. I'm trying to keep the commands, you know. And I'm there, I sum it all up, but this isn't the sum of it all. This is the sum of it. This is what we're to do. This Good Samaritan teaches us that. You know, I read a story that I liked about a young man. His name is Jonathan Wall. This is two or three years ago. He was a runner. I was going to tell it to Micah, but he's out of town. You can tell Micah. He's a 2 mile. He ran the 2 mile in some kind of cross country something, 2 mile thing. And he gets about a half a mile into the race, and he hears some crying out and pain from a voice. And he gets up there, and people are just running by this boy. And by the way, Jonathan Wall was the one who reported this. The boy's name was Josh Ripley. Believe it or not, this happened. And Marcus Pulaski was the guy who was hurting, and he had fallen down, and everybody just ran by him, you know. And he stopped, and the boy's leg was gashed open from a spike. And he was in the race to win, He picked up the boy. He carried him back a half a mile to where the parents and coaches were so he could get help. Took 20 stitches and a walking boot for this boy to heal. So he was crying because there was a big pain there. But everybody ran by him. I say everybody. I mean, he might have been in the middle of the pack. But he stopped. And you know what he did when he got through? He gave him to his coach or parent or whichever it was. He turned around and he ran the 2 miles and finished the course. And they asked, well, why did you do this? And he said, well, I would expect that's what somebody would do for me. You know, we get so busy, especially when we're running the race. You ever feel like you're running a race and you're in a rat race? That you're running a race and you got to be somewhere at 10 after. How am I going to be there at 2 at 11? Whatever, you got to be there. We need to cultivate a genuine interest in others. If they're our neighbors and we're Christ's hands in helping those and loving our neighbors as ourselves. I want you to turn over to Philippians 2 and just read this with me very quickly. Philippians 2. Where was Paul when he wrote Philippians, the book of joy? Prison, right? One of the prison epistles. Verse 19, he's writing to the Philippians. But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, so that I also may be encouraged when I learn of your condition. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they all seek after their own interest, not those of Christ. Paul's saying that in the first century there were people that were about themselves, but there was Timothy. He was an outstanding guy here. Would you think that might be something that we ought to listen to? That it might be that the most Christians you see are a lot of them, some of them, I don't know what number, they're about themselves even though they believe the Lord. But then there's Timothy's. For they all seek after their own, verse 21, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of the proven worth that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel like a child serving his father. Therefore, I hope to send him immediately as soon as I see how things are going with me. And I trust in the Lord that I myself also shall come shortly. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also a messenger and a minister to my need. Because he was longing for you all, and was distressed because he had heard that you heard and knew that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, that I should not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly in order that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Therefore, receive him in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in highest regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his own life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. You know, don't you think it would have been logical for Paul to say, man, I got a lot of needs here. I'm in prison, and there's only a few people here. I would like to send Timothy to you, but, you know, I'm up here trying to teach Caesar's household. You all have got each other, but I've got a few people. Or him to say, well, Epaphroditus, he's here and he's been helping me and I need him. or write a letter like this. You've given so much this so far, but how about sending me some more money and a few more people? Because I really need it here in Rome. Couldn't you see Paul sort of thinking like it's all about me? I'm the one that needs things, because how do you think we would write a letter if we was talking about, brethren, I'm in prison now. I'm teaching the household of Obama now. And people are coming, and there's a few people here with me. What do you think we'd be sending? But Paul was about sending and caring for them. I want you to think about this when we come to church. What do you think about coming to church? Somebody says, you shouldn't say that. Well, I say it all the time. I know all the definitions and meanings. We say things. I know what the church is, and it being people. But why do I come? Well, I need to go worship God, because God told me to, and that's what the law says. Or I want to worship God, and I want to go help my brothers and sisters. I want to go sing praise to the Lord. In fact, he said, teach and admonish one another. How can I encourage them if I'm not there? And I want to go because I want to love my neighbor. Wouldn't that be a whole different? I want to love God and love my neighbor. Don't those go together when we come to worship? Isn't that what it's about? How many times do you see others come and you wonder how they got here and what a genuine encouragement that is to you? I believe this is a training ground for us. We can look out and we can see people who need help. We see a mother struggling, we can go help. I want you to read the bulletin article this week. I don't know if you've read it yet. Bob, have you read it yet? You've usually already read it before I get up here. He has. Bob reads it before I get up here. And it talks about getting to being at worship right before. Of course, this is Robert Turner. You know, I get a lot of his stuff. And look at those who are hungry for association and attendance and attention while the inconsiderate brethren enjoy a last-minute social visit and settle everything with each other. And it's an opportunity. Worship is an opportunity to love others. It's an opportunity to look out and see who needs help. It's an opportunity to hug someone and say you love them. Aretha's going to have her knee surgery redone on Tuesday at 2 o'clock. Is it 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock? I don't know if that got back there or not, but I'll say it anyway. It's an opportunity to look over and say, I'm Tommy Porch. I don't think I know you. And some visitor. You know how I am. Some of you experienced this from me. I see somebody I don't need, and I see somebody that I do know, and I'll go meet the person I don't know, and I'll say, well, do you know this person? And they'll say, oh, I don't know them. Well, I want you to meet each other. You're sitting by each other. That ought to be within our heart that we're looking out for our neighbors and loving them. It's just instinctive. They're here. They're here for a reason. And what percentage of people you think come back because they thought it was good, but they thought that these people have the bottom line. They love others as they love themselves. Doesn't that come out in how we treat our visitors and the people we see? That'll make our church grow. I'll tell you what happens when you get so involved with other people. Paul wanted to see Timothy, and you get interest in other people, you forget about your own problem. I had about two or three phone calls Friday and Saturday that I forgot about my own problems. It doesn't take long to talk to people and be interested in people that you forget about your own problems. Because you realize on the scale of things, your problems are so little. Now, I'm not saying that's for everybody, but I'm saying that's for me right now. And probably the most of us can always say that. on any given day. That it wouldn't take, how many minutes would it take at Levine's Children's Hospital to realize, boy, I've got a lot to give. Or anywhere else. Well, practice that right here in church. And let me tell you something. If you practice it and you love others, what do you think is probably going to happen when you get in need? You'll find the blessing. We need to offer sincere encouragement to others. Paul says, I want you to be encouraged, and I'm going to send a man to you that there's nobody else like him. He's the one. And he is my closest friend. There's no other like spirit man in the world like Timothy. Now, I want to suggest this to you about loving friends. You need a Timothy in your life. Or it might be a Martha or Mary. You need a friend like that. I want to suggest something else to you, that you don't get many friends like that. Because it just doesn't happen in your life. To where you have a friend that's closer than a brother, or a sister, or a friend that's closer than a sister, or sometime a friend that's closer than a father, or a friend that's closer than a mother. We all need some of those friends. And you need to develop that. And you don't need to live a solitary life. You don't need to be like the Unabomber that goes up into the mountains and just wants to live by himself. And that's an old thing nobody will know anything about unless you're old. I always told my brother he is like the Unabomber. He just went up in the mountains. But you know what? He needed somebody. We need to develop those kinds of friends so we can have them and we can share them. And the next thing I want to say is we need to unselfishly release others to help others. Follow me, I hope. How many times in my lifetime have I seen in the church a mess because some friends got mad because some other friends was talking to some other friends instead of them, and now they didn't know why they were shunning them and why they were talking to them? And I remember an elder came up to me one time and said, I'm disappointed in you, Tommy. It's a long time ago. And I said, what? He said, well, we were together all the time, and you started being around these people, and I didn't see you as much. Those people needed a lot of help, and it took a lot of time. And he became jealous of that. Release people. Don't think badly because somebody's going and helping, being around somebody now that wasn't around you for a while. Release people to help people, and don't judge people, but encourage each other. If you have close friends, encourage one another to love others as they love themselves. Who can we love and help this week? Who needs us? Let me tell you somebody who you could write a card to. Julie Gresham. My phone got a text last night. My wife looked at the text. She answered the text, so don't always think I'm answering them. And she said, I don't recognize who you are. Your name's not in my phone. Well, it's from my phone. It's J.D. Gresham. Then I read it. He was watching the Auburn game, and it was like a Hail Mary religious experience of miracles last night, and you know what I'm saying. But anyway, he just was commenting, knew I went to Auburn. I said, well, how's Julie? She's back in that disease has come back, full strength on her. She's on the medicines. She's depressed. Because you know how much better she was doing when she was here. Not so now. I imagine a few cards might do her well, don't you? Paul hears Timothy and here's Epaphroditus who's helping Paul. And Paul's concerned about the Philippians. Far as I know, none of them were in jail. I don't know if any of them were, do you? And they had each other. But they had problems. Paul didn't say, I got the biggest problems in the world. Did he have problems? He sure did. But he released Timothy and he released Epaphroditus to go help some that needed it. You know, I've seen people that I've seen churches that just can't release a preacher to go off and do something. They can't release because all our needs are the greatest. We can't have that kind of thinking and love your neighbors yourself. Somebody says, well, Tommy, friends disappoint me sometime. Have they ever disappointed you? Yes. But there's one friend who never disappoints us. Paul's back in prison when he writes Timothy in 2 Timothy. And he said in verse 16 of chapter 4, he said, at my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Wow. Paul was willing to let any of them go. You know, I've got a lot of friends that around the world, I don't communicate as much as I should. But when I see them again, boy, my heart's just open. You know, the one thing I know about them, they've never deserted me and turned their back on me. And here Paul was just giving so much, not only of himself, but of others to help others. And here Paul is at his final stage of life, soon to die. And he has friends that desert him. I don't know why they deserted him. Some, like Demas, might have just been too worried about this world. Others, like Timothy, just weren't there yet. And others, like Mark, he wanted to come when you read this letter. But people had deserted him. And he was facing the guillotine. Probably wasn't the guillotine, but he was facing decapitation, maybe. And people left him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. And I want to say this. While I talk about we need to reach out to others, and that is what it's about in being like Christ, and if we don't get it, you've missed it. I don't care if you got all the commandments right, you've missed the whole commandments. If that's not the rock you're settled on top of Christ, you don't know the summation of it all. But you might say, well, I understand that, but I've been deserted. There's been others deserted too. Paul has deserted. Was deserted by some. But was he left alone? And there might be someone here today that really feels like you were left alone. There might be someone here today who you don't understand what I'm going through, Tommy. And no one else here knows. Tommy, you don't understand the need I have, and no one else knows the need I have right now. I would beg you to let us know, but maybe you don't know how. But I want to beg you to know there's someone greater than any of us here right now. And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he will stand by you, and he will not leave you. Are you waiting on the Lord, or is the Lord waiting on you? That's what the sign says down the road. Well, you need to step out and do what you need to do, because the Lord is waiting to fulfill your need. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. What Paul had left really was heaven, because I don't think he escaped this. He might have, but I don't think he did. He said, his time, my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. But the Lord has not left me. Are you a friend? Are you a neighbor? Do you get it? Do you get the law and what it is? Are you a priest and a Levite? Are we hurried about our own things and forgetting about others? Can you do that and be a Christian? If you're saying yes, I beg to tell you, you're dead wrong. That's what the Lord wants. And if we'll do that for each other's and our neighbors, do you think that's going to be a hard task, or do you think that'll end up being a beautiful thing? We're falling all over each other, caring about each other. Is that going to be a burden hard to bear, or is that going to be a blessing shared that's going to open our lives to escape what this world brings us down to? Hope we all agree, because certainly Jesus agrees. And I want to say this, and somebody says, Tommy, time's getting late. Well, I want to remind you that the Panthers play Monday night. I think there are a lot of people that do these things here. I've got to say that. I think there's a lot of people who do these things here, because I follow behind a lot of you. I do a lot of these things, but a lot of times I know I'm slower than others, because I see others that's already been there and done it and gone on and been knowing about it a long time before I knew about it. And I just want to encourage you to keep on keeping on, because I know you're already trying to do that. I know you're giving your heart to others, and I want you to know that's the right thing, because sometime, you know, what does the Bible say? Don't grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary, because sometimes when others aren't taking up the slack they should, sometimes you might think, well, I'm the only one out here. I want to promise you, you're not the only one out there, because there's a lot of good people here doing that, and I want us all to do that and get lost up in loving God and loving our neighbors as we follow our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you would like to become a Christian, why not become a Christian now, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who will never leave you? Jesus. You want to be baptized into him today? Do it. All things are ready. Come now as together we stand.
Make me a servant, Lord, make me like
announcements. We're just going to be led in a closing prayer. Bow with me. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to be here to come without persecution, Father, to open up your word and to study it, God, and to learn about what you would want us to do. We're thankful for the lesson of loving others as ourselves, loving our neighbor, Father, because that is so important. We cannot say we love Christ if we can't love the others around us, God. We truly cannot say that. We're truly, truly thankful and beyond blessed to have your son and the example, God, of what he has done in his life, God, that we may imitate that and we may go out and truly be followers of you, Christ. And you would want us, Lord, to open up our hearts, to open up our time, monetary, whatever it is, Father, to show that love, God, to others, Lord. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for these things. We're thankful for your word. And God, be with us and be with this congregation as we have had ones who've lost loved ones recently. Lord, help us to comfort them. And we're thankful, Lord, that you give us that comfort of knowing that we have a home. Be with those who are sick. We especially pray for the Sloan family, Father. Just help us to continue to rally around them, to continue to pray for him and that family. And just, Lord, we know what is possible, God, with you. And we're thankful for that because you have shown us that continuously. We are too truly thankful for that, Father. We pray for those, Lord, right now that I can't mention the names, Lord, that are sick and afflicted. And be with us, Father, as we go out, Lord. Keep us safe. And, Lord, and have the opportunity to come back, God, and to tonight, Lord, be with those, Lord, and help us, God, to come back and just want to hear your word and serve you, Father, and just love you more. We're truly blessed and truly thankful, God. Help us to share that word with others, with our life, with the example, God, and teach us, God, how to love others, Lord. And we're so thankful, God, for everything we have. And because of your son, we're able to have these things. And through his name we pray. Amen.